All right, we are back for an RTD Q&A late night edition. Excited to have a returning guest, Mr. Alaska Pepper himself, live in the flesh. How you doing, Rudy, my man?
Good, Michael. How you doing? It's great to see you, man. It's been, what, about a year and a half, 2 years?
I think we connected at beginning of the lockdown situation or before. Well, it was 2020-ish, I think, but it's been too long, man.
My beard was darker when we last spoke. I know that much.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sure everybody's beard was darker. My grays came in nice and strong last spring, so stressed out. But, oh, man, it's good to have you back on. And I appreciate you for chiming in the chat every now and then and, being a blessing to the community, man, because you're a fan favorite, man, around the internet. So I appreciate you for blessing me with your time. And looking forward to connecting with you, man, because one thing that has always allowed me to gravitate towards you is that you've been a person who's have real world experience with your military background, and you saw some things coming. You've been preparing for quite some time now, and your preparations have definitely been a blessing to a lot of people. So I wanted to connect with you tonight because I think now we're all facing what is called the Great Reset, of which, you know, you talk about as well. Yeah. And I think a lot of the reset portion of it has to do with our mindset, given the fact that, you know, they are strategically cutting off all the exits for people around the world and slowly but surely pressing in on us, making our lives uncomfortable. But I would like to be somewhat preemptive in the fact that how can we be more proactive in creating our own resets for our own betterment? And so that's what I want to kind of touch on tonight and get your thoughts on that and just go from there, man. But, you know, share with me your thoughts on the mindset and what it means to set your own reset, if you don't mind.
Well, let me tell you, everyone is a prepper, whether they think so or not. It's just to what level are you prepared? You know, if you have a spare tire in your vehicle, you're prepared in case you get a flat, right? Mm-hmm. And you get a life insurance so that you can be prepared to make sure that your family is okay in case something happens to you.
So
the first thing that you have to get through in order to seriously consider starting to prepare for a world where those things that you are able to get on a regular basis, where those things that affect your standard of living, right? You like to eat every day. You like to have clean water. You like to have transportation. You like to have electricity, heat. All of those things affect your standard of living. You take electricity out of the way, your standard of living goes down dramatically, right? Mm-hmm. So first you have to understand one thing, and that is that if a systemic crisis occurs, and what I mean by a systemic crisis is a crisis that engulfs our entire nation. Let's say, for example, that we had a nationwide power outage that lasted for several weeks. That would be catastrophic.
Yeah.
If something like that were to happen, the government is not going to take care of you. Right. Once you understand that, number one, it's not the job of the government to take care of you. Once you understand that, and once you understand that, even if it were, they do not have the logistics and or ability to take care of everyone. So get away from the mindset that someone's going to come on a white horse and rescue you in times of trouble, especially when it's troubles that are more than a regional problem. Like, for example, what happened in Texas with the winter freeze they had back in February.
Yeah.
That wasn't terrible, but imagine if something like that happened nationwide, where people lost power, where they lost heat, where they lost the ability to get air conditioning if they live in an area where it's very arid and hot. You know, imagine if something like that happened. The government wasn't there to help Texas, and it was just one state. Do you really think that they're going to be there to help you when times are at their worst? Now, when people think about a prepper or hear the word prepper, they think about a crazy guy that's in a bunker that's hoping for the world to come to an end so that he can take out his MREs, right? That's very far from what a prepper really is. And I hate using the word prepper, but we have to use a word in order to, you know, intrigue people into hearing our message. And the message is this: be prepared for anything. And once you understand that it is your responsibility to take care of yourself and your family, then you will start to understand that it is your responsibility to prepare in case something happens. Yeah. And I like to explain to people that haven't started prepping yet or that have just begun to prep how easy it is. All you have to do is picture this. I'll only go through one example so that you can understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
In order to be well prepared, you don't have to be able to, you know, hike 100 miles with a 70-pound pack on your back or anything like that. All you have to do is start very, very slowly. Pick an infrastructure that you rely on. And I think everyone needs to eat and drink. So those are a lot of the things that I concentrate on my channel, is how to put away food for long term, how to get the things on sale, you know, things like that. So let's say that the infrastructure that most people in the U.S. rely on in order to eat is the supermarket. So make believe that the supermarket is going away tomorrow. What would you like to have put away in your home in case you couldn't go and get it? So create your own food infrastructure. All right. The supermarkets that we rely on, they are their own infrastructure. They have the logistics that they require in order to get food when they need it. So create your own infrastructure for food. The way that I like to do that is first by expanding your working pantry, fill it up so that it'll last you 2 to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then once you have 2 to 3 weeks worth of sustenance put away of things that you regularly eat, you know, not no fancy third party stuff that you buy that's supposed to last 20, 30 years. I am a proponent of getting those things too, but there is a place for those types of foods that are more expensive that are packaged by a third party. But once you have your working pantry, you know, spread out to about 3 weeks, then consider building an extended pantry, which I like to call a mid to long-term pantry. And that is going to be the things that you eat anyways, but you're going to extend that to 6 months to a year. And what you'll do is very simple, Michael. You just go ahead, and once you have a gap in your working pantry, you're going to go to your extended pantry. You're going to fill in the gap in your working pantry. And then next time you go shopping, since you see that you have an extra spot for a pound of spaghetti or pasta in your long-term pantry, you're going to pick it up. I like to call that keeping your gaps filled. Yeah. So it's as simple as that. And here we go. We've got our infrastructure for food taken care of. One thing. Another infrastructure that we rely heavily on is water. You know, people think that water comes from the tap. No. Water is very, very complicated system. The way they get it, the way they purify it, they have to keep pumps running to pump it through the pipes to get it to you, the end consumer, the end user. So if your water infrastructure that you rely on went away tomorrow, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter. The reason doesn't matter. You know, a lot of people like to concentrate, oh, this is why this happened. You know, this is why this cyber attack happened and shut down the pipelines. It doesn't matter why it happened. Mm-hmm. What matters is that it did, and now you are without. So in order to go ahead and mimic the infrastructure that you rely on to get you water, why don't you go ahead and have some water storage? Why don't you go ahead and have an extra set of water filters that you can use in case it gets bad enough to where you have to rely on rainwater or pond water or lake water that's next to you? So in order to be well prepared, you want to start by going ahead and mimicking all of the infrastructures that you rely on and just have a basic, a basic stockpile of those things that you rely on an everyday basis. Because what it comes down to preparing is two things. It's being able to maintain your standard of living during times where you cannot get those things that you normally get. And it's also being able to get you from point A to point B of a crisis. That way you make sure that your family is taken care of during a crisis. And that way you can make it out the other side. So now, I hope I answered your question. I know I rambled on there for a minute.
No, I did. Because those were some practical, things to do to prepare yourself and to better your situation just in case. And so when you first start off, you mentioned about just the word prepper. And I remember, you know, I was always aware of the word prepper, but prepper was always up in that same category as conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
As well as whatever other, you know, negative connotation they like to give to people who are awake and aware. But now in this current environment, more people are awake and aware. And so some words that came to mind that would be a good tag along with the word prepper. And it was just basic life skills and self-sustainability skills, like, you know, just that, that's a long drawn out, but it's more user-friendly in a sense, you know, it can be cleaned up a little bit, but it's something that we're never taught. We're never told, right? Because that's not a part of our education system by design. And so I think just putting a little bit more of a proactive spin on it can help, other than associating it solely as just, you know, prepare for doomsday, the world's coming to an end. No, right. Just, you know, like, just like you mentioned, like, to have insurance just in case, just do these other things just in case. But here's the problem. It's the mindset. A lot of people, you know, so last year was a great experience of the rush to get toilet paper. So everybody had a chance to experience what it's like to be in an environment where instability reared its head above the water. And people were like, man, let me go stand in this long line around Costco to get some rolls of toilet paper. So do you think that moment makes it easier for people to take on the extra mindset of preparing ahead of time? A lot easier nowadays, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there are a lot more preppers today than there were a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. Because when it hurts, when you're in a situation and it hurts, you know, meaning that you can't get what you need. We are a consumer-based society. Everything that we need, we buy, pretty much, right? And most people are unfortunately in a state of what is called normalcy bias, thinking that, hey, that pack of toilet paper is always there when I go to the supermarket, so why should I stock up on them? Yeah. So they're not. And the only problem that I see with not more people prepping than what are currently prepping is that people think that things aren't going to happen, you know, just because they've never happened. And that is normalcy bias. And even though we've gone through something, you know, that has made a lot of people consider prepping in the last year, year and a half or so, most people are not going to take it serious. Yeah. Most people are going to continue on their merry way. And they're going to have to learn the hard way. And you know what, Michael? The thing is, and I mentioned this on my channel before, is that most people are not going to be responsible enough or take the responsibility of making sure that their families are taken care of. They're just not. It doesn't matter how many times they run out of toilet paper at the store. It doesn't matter. They're just not going to take it serious, and they are going to suffer in the end. And that's just the reality of what it is. Because, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, but there is no way out. You know, the government and the Federal Reserve, there's no way out for them. Mm-hmm. And we will be another Venezuela. Yeah. You know, we will be another Venezuela, and we will have a society which is going to be a two-tier system. There's going to be the haves and have-nots. Right. And I just don't understand why people can't open their eyes and say, you know what? I'd rather be one of the haves than the have-nots, because I don't think there's anything that we can do on a personal level to keep that from happening. Yeah. I really don't. So if you know that something's coming down the line, why don't you put yourself in a position where you can, you know, be one of the haves instead of being one of the have-nots? Because that's where we're going to end up anyways. Right. And you're right. It's the education system. You know, I remember when I was in middle school, they still taught home economics. And they still had building shop, like where you can build with wood, shop class.
Yeah.
They still had that, because I remember I took some of those classes, and I don't think they have those anymore.
Oh, no.
And if they do, it's probably few and far apart.
That's not a part of Common Core.
Right?
You got to go. You got probably have to go to private school schools for that, and that even may not be taught. But one thing I noticed that makes it a little bit more obvious now to try to get ahead of the curve is the concept of inflation now. So inflation has been here all along, as far as the increase in the money supply chasing the very finite amount of goods. But it's starting to rear, you know, so it's starting to pop up in consumer goods, i.e. on the shelves. So somebody mentioned out here about, you know, inflation is picking up. So should that incentivize people even more to be willing to buy a little bit extra, outside of the fact that it might be a little bit more costlier the next week you go, type of thing, or what?
Absolutely. You know what I call my pantry? I'm not sure if you've ever seen a video of my pantry.
My pantry is
my savings account. I am a proponent of getting out of the system.
Yeah.
You know, I was happy as heck today, Mike, when I woke up and I saw that the dollar shot up and that gold and silver shot down. I was so happy. You know, most people would be like, oh my goodness. No, as soon as I saw that, I got on the phone. I called Alaska Rare Coins and I was like, hey, Jerry, what are you selling silver for today? Yeah. Oh, okay, go ahead and put 50 ounces to the side. Now all I have to do is find the money. And I went to like three or four different accounts to get enough money to pay for it.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't keep that much money in the bank.
Yeah.
And I would rather put it in hard assets. But yeah, my pantry is a savings account. Yeah. And it's a savings account that for like the last 3 or 4 or 5 years has been yielding 10% or more. Meaning that the foods that I have in there have gone up in price 10% or more year over year.
Yeah.
So would you rather have a can of beans in your pantry that's earning you 25% a year, or a dollar in the bank that's earning you a real interest rate of about negative 5 to 10% a year? I'd rather have the beans, Mike.
Yeah, I hear you. And that's real. Like, you know, the way you word that as far as your pantry is your savings account. And that, and so here's the thing, that's mindset. Like, not many people outside of those that are awake and aware that's preparing for something down the line could think like that, to where my shelf is my savings as well. So, man, so the whole mindset aspect. So that takes a little bit of an adjustment to realize that we need to see the world through a whole nother set of lenses. In particular, and I like to reference, you know, talking about the monetary system the most, is the best way to realize where this monetary game is going. Just look at Venezuela, as you mentioned. Look at Zimbabwe. Look at all the nations that have not had a world reserve currency in the last 100 plus years. They've gone through two or three different types of currencies, and we've been on the same one for the last 108 years, and it's not possible to do it forever. So that awakening period will be very difficult. But the mindset, once again, like, so you are unique in that you say your savings account is also on your shelf as well. So give me some more savings accounts that you might have.
Well, let me go ahead and jump in. Let me do a little side note, Michael.
Okay.
So that people, you see, if people would just understand how much they're being robbed by leaving their money in fiat, maybe they would consider saying, hey, maybe I will put a few dollars into my pantry and, you know, get some canned foods that will last 4 or 5 years, et cetera, et cetera. When you said that the dollars never changed, you know, I love you, Mike, but I'm going to have to disagree with you.
Okay.
The you see this right here. This right here.
Maybe
the way that it looks, it has never changed. But let me give you three instances on where the dollar has changed. And I'm sure you know this now that I'm bringing it up.
Yeah.
But I think it was March of 1934, after FDR confiscated the gold, the dollar changed. The dollar changed because back then, 1 ounce of gold before they confiscated it was valued nominally at $20.67. And once he confiscated the gold, he then went ahead and revalued gold at $35, which is about a 60 to 70% increase in inflation. Meaning that the dollar that you had the day after he revalued gold could only buy you about 60% less than what it could the day before. So on that day, the dollar changed.
Yeah.
Now, on August 15th of 1971, just shy of 50 years ago, when Richard Nixon decided to decouple the dollar from gold, the dollar changed. Yeah. Why? Go back and look at the 70s and look at how much inflation took hold of that entire decade.
Yeah.
Now, the dollar looked the same, but it could buy you a lot less. And now I'll finish it off with 2008. 2008, which is said to be the Great Recession, the dollar changed after they did that $700 billion stimulus deal. Why? Because that is when the government first started doing QE. In the history of mankind, no government had ever done QE before.
Yeah.
So they started doing QE. And what does QE do? It diminishes the purchasing power of your dollar even more so than just your regular inflation.
Right.
So the dollar has changed several times. So as long as we recognize that these criminals, you know, on Capitol Hill can change the dollar whenever they want, then why don't we prepare for the next change? Because whenever there is a change to the dollar, the only people that get affected negatively are those that work a 9-to-5, are those that are trying to save for a retirement. It's not the elites or who I like to call our rulers, because that's who they think they are, they don't suffer. To a billionaire, a $17 a pound ribeye is nothing, right?
Yeah.
You know, the difference between a $8 a pound ribeye and $17 a pound ribeye to a millionaire is nothing. The difference between $1.75 gasoline a gallon and $3.50 gasoline is nothing to a billionaire. But to the average person that has to get up and do a 9-to-5 every day, it's everything. It steals their wealth. So as long as people understand that the only reason that this exists, the only reason that the Federal Reserve Act was enacted in 1913 is because they had a plan, and their plan was this, is to steal your wealth. Yeah. And you have to consider what is your wealth. Your wealth is your time. This right here, this is a piece of my time. So when they're stealing your wealth, this is what they're stealing. They're stealing your time, i.e. your freedom.
Yeah. And so let me correct myself. So when I mentioned the dollar, I was more so referring to the current structure of the Federal Reserve System, because I love graphics. So I've been setting up graphics. You know, I think that's one of the things that excites me most is getting a chance to actually put visual aids together so people can see what's really going on outside. Because, you know, most people are, you know, some are audible, some are visual, but most people, everybody can see a graph and see exactly what's going on. So here's a version of the changes of our currency in the context of the chemical composition of it, metals, unbacked paper, and now being solely electrical currency. And then as far as the purchasing power, which you was hitting on, is that, you know, every president, we've had 19 administrations that have all chipped away at it. And in my opinion, you know, Biden's going to be the last one under this current Federal Reserve structure until they rolled out that CBDC. So I feel you 100%. And I feel bad because I'm like, I try my best, as much as I'm conscious of it, to distinguish between a Federal Reserve note and a dollar, because they're two different entities in general. I like to use the word dollar as far as a certain weight and silver, but I also I make mistakes. So
what is it? 371.25. Grains?
Yeah, I just keep it as a troy ounce. You know what I'm saying? I just keep it simple. Yep. I just say one troy ounce.
Well, the definition of a dollar is 371.25 grains of silver.
Shy of a troy ounce. So
yeah, shy of a troy ounce. Yeah.
Just get your weight up. I don't want to complicate it.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, man. Hey, Michael. I just came back from the coin shop, man. Hey, listen, it's consistency. A lot of people shy away from stacking silver or gold because they're like, well, I can't afford an ounce of gold. Then buy silver. Well, I'm not going to go to the shop. You know, I can only afford 1 ounce a month. Hey, it's all about consistency. I don't care how much an ounce of silver costs. Every single month, at the first of the month, which I went a little earlier this time because of this little nice dip in silver. Mm-hmm. But the first of the month, every month, I have a certain number of dollars that I'm going to spend on silver. And I don't care if that month it gets me 1 ounce or 20 ounces. I'm going to spend that on silver and I'm going to keep stacking it and I'm going to be consistent about it. By the time you know it, you know, you'll have a whole bunch of ounces, even if you only buy 1 ounce a month or 1 ounce every other week when you get paid. It's all about being consistent. And if you want to feel really good about buying silver, ladies and gentlemen, silver is the dollar's kryptonite. If everyone in the United States that's working today went out and bought 1 ounce of silver every month for the next 6 months to a year, that's it. It's game over. The system will have to be reset, and more than likely it'll be in our favor. But most people won't do that, either because they cannot do it, because they're still hanging on to that first rung of the ladder, just hoping that they can feed their families, or because they're too ignorant to do it. And not using the word ignorant in a bad way, but if you've never been taught something, then you're going to be ignorant as to what you've never been taught. So people really do need to do their research, study a little bit of history, and then take action to preserve their wealth. Because I'll tell you what, during this next reset that's happening, I think it's already underway. When it really does happen and they come out with that CBDC, people are going to, you know, it might look good for the first few months. Everyone will be happy. Oh, this is so great. But man, I'll tell you what, it's going to catch up to us in a hurry once that happens. And a lot of people are going to be down and out. And then they'll really know what being a darn slave is all about, because that CBDC, the only intent they have with using that is making us into real, true slaves. We're just living in an open plantation is all it is.
Right.
You know, they'll be able to tell us what to do, what to buy, when to buy it, how much of it we can buy once that thing comes out. It'll be terrible for humanity.
Right. And I think it comes with stipulations, as you just referenced, that fact that they'll be able to track and see everything you do. And that's a part of the design. And so back to the point about, you know, silver and how I say, you know, get whatever you can, because right now it's the cheapest it's ever going to be again, definitely in its current monetary system. But the most important reason I believe you should get it is because it's your way of salvaging some of your own purchasing power from your future that they're trying to take away from you. And so right now, by silver being the most undervalued monetary slash industrial metal that the humanity needs, it, you know, whatever your premiums, everybody's premium is different, but 35, 40, whatever, that's the cheapest it's going to be. And it's the equivalent of you reaching into your own future, bringing it back into something that you can hold in your hand. Because right now, with all these trillions, they're going into the unborn's future, extracting trillions for today. So just play the same game they plan. Go in your own future by getting your weight up as best you can. So that's real stuff, 100%. Man. But now watch this. Let's get your thoughts a little bit on the process ahead. Like, so the time frame they've put out, World Economic Forum put out, you know, by 2030, they will be complete in accordance to what they have set up. You'll own nothing. You'll be happy with it. What are your thoughts about, as time moves forward, property rights might be infringed upon, because that's a part of that. You'll own nothing. You know, they're trying to steer us towards cryptocurrencies. I believe personally that by that time, the true nature and all the true intentions of cryptocurrencies will be revealed, to where it'll make it easier, so you won't own nothing because it's not tangible. What are your thoughts about, you know, property rights in the future? Do you think the government, you know, things will get that downright dirty to where, you know, they're going to come for your property type of thing?
Well, let me tell you that CBDC will be the first step, because once they have that CBDC, and then they convince the people, it may take 6 months to a year, maybe a little longer. But Jerome Powell said, oh, of course, we're going to have a CBDC right next to the dollar. We're not getting rid of the dollar, you know, the paper dollar, you know, that came out of his mouth.
Yeah,
they're going to get people hooked on the CBDC with free money at first, and then eventually they'll get rid of the dollar. Or at least that's what they're hoping to do. Once they get rid of the dollar, we have no property rights, because they'll be able to, your property, and people just need to understand, your labor is your property. Once someone takes control of your labor, this is your labor, right? This is full of your seconds, your minutes, and hours that you work in order to get it. So to you and I, this is money. Because this has our labor in it. It's not money to the people that print it. That's fiat currency. But to the average person, that is money, because it's full with their time, their labor, you know. So once they have control of your money, they have control of your labor. Your labor is your freedom. They'll be able to tell you what you can buy, when you can buy it. They'll be able to put a timestamp on your digital dollar saying, if you don't spend it by this day, 10% of it will be gone. They'll be able to tell AP, AAP, I just saw your last cholesterol reading, and this is the second time you're at McDonald's this month. And you're already a fat body as it is. So I don't think we're going to be able to let you purchase McDonald's for a second time in a month.
Yeah.
They'll be taking them to do whatever they want. If you get on YouTube and you talk bad about the government, which is, in my opinion, you know, I was having this conversation with someone the other day. I said, one of the most patriotic things that someone can do is to criticize and critique their government. So, you know, so that you can keep your government in check and your freedoms can stay in place. Right. Yeah. But you get on YouTube, you criticize your government for A, B, and C. And guess what happens? Just like YouTube can demonetize your video, the government will be able to demonetize your life. So I consider the CBDC coming into existence and taking over as the main currency, pushing the dollar aside. I consider that's probably going to be the point of no return. Yeah. And what I mean about the point of no return is that eventually people will get sick of it. And people, at least Americans, they'll put up with stuff for a long time. But eventually, when they're pushed into a corner tight enough and there's nothing else they can do, well, you know, we've all heard of 1776. And unfortunately, that's what it will come down to. because yeah. there is a portion of the American population that will not put up with that kind of stuff for too long. So, right. you know, this is the time, ladies and gentlemen, that if you're not prepped, if you don't have your financial house in order, if you're not stacking it to the rafters as far as food and preparations of the things that you need to live on an everyday basis, if you're not putting your excess wealth into precious metals. And listen, Michael, I do a little bit of crypto as well. You know, yeah. I have my own opinion on cryptos, but I believe that, you know, Bitcoin especially, I believe that Bitcoin, just like the internet back in 1997, I think it was, or 96, mm-hmm. it was mm-hmm. the Internet of Things. I think that they will end up using Bitcoin along with a few other cryptocurrencies as mm-hmm. the Internet of Money. Now, who will have control over that? I don't know. It's very hard to say. With as yeah. secure as the crypto network is, as the Bitcoin network is, it's very mm-hmm. secure. There is one thing that can really damage it, and it's if enough bigwigs get into it where they can control the market.
And then, you know, also, the unknowns, I think, in the future, the unknowns, and of course, technology is growing exponentially faster at a much rapid, a much more rapid pace. The threat mm-hmm. of possible quantum computing, as well as yeah. AI and all that other stuff that's it's in our future that they don't talk much about, but yet there's a lot of people developing that stuff. Now, let me ask you a question about sure. Bitcoin, because I as I mentioned, I dip and dabble myself. I've been, you know, aware of it for quite some time. And I was a part of the community when it was more so disruptive as opposed to waiting on permission now. And so now most people are waiting on permission and regulation to approve how you can use it. And I'm thinking, like, all along, you're supposed to be, you know, get rid of the bank, get rid of government, because it's permissionless. So it's changed a lot. And it's, I think a lot of it has to do with greed, as well as, you know, a lot of bad actors now getting involved. Of course, it's the big money that's getting involved now. They've changed it entirely. But what are your thoughts about the fact that the Economist cover 1988 with the Phoenix and the burning currency said that by 2018, there will be a new world currency. And all of a sudden now, a good portion of people is excited about Bitcoin in particular, and of course, all the other blockchain projects. Is that by coincidence, or is that a part of a setup? What do you think?
No, Michael. I mean, they tell you what they're going to do ahead of time.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the "you will own nothing and be happy by 2030. Mm-hmm. They're telling us what they're up to already. I mean, I read an article here the other day, and I forget the darn name of the news site, but it mm-hmm. says something like climate lockdowns can help the Earth. Yeah. Right, they're telling us what they want to do. You know, they're putting these articles out there to plant a seed in your head. That way, one day when they start talking about it more and more, you will accept it easier. So they're just telling us what they're going to do. One of the things, you know, by nature I'm an optimist. You know, mm-hmm. but overall I'm really a realist. And one of the things that give me hope is that I think that in the end, that good will prevail over bad.
Oh, definitely.
I honestly think that. You know, I honestly think, you know, and I'm not going to get into Bible verses here, but there's one where it says, and one day they'll be throwing their silver onto the streets. Mm-hmm. The way that I interpret that, it's not you and me, Michael. Mm-hmm. The way I interpret that, and I may be wrong, okay? It's just the way that I interpret it. The right. way I interpret it is the money changers. Mm-hmm. The money changers that have taken God's money and turned it into something bad, to that's their silver. And there will come a day where the money changers' money, which they consider their, you know, their creation, one day they'll be throwing that onto the streets. Yeah. So that gives me hope that one day the good will prevail over bad. However, for the short term, I believe that the best thing that I can do on a personal level and that anyone else can do on a personal level is mm-hmm. to get prepared, because how many protests have we seen? How many bad protests have we seen? Has it changed anything in the system? Absolutely yeah. not. I forget the name of the person that said this, but they said something like, let them protest all they want as long as they pay the taxes. We can group up. We can go to the Capitol. We can protest all we want. Has it changed anything? It won't change anything because, you know, Capitol Hill is full of criminals. They're full yeah. of criminals that take money from corporations so that they can write laws and regulations that will allow those corporations to win and for the little guy to lose. You know, so the time to get prepared is now. Now, I want to get back to what you were talking about technology in the future and how quantum computing will be able to hack. You have to understand one thing as well, and it's that it works both ways. Mm-hmm. There may be technology that's being developed that can do something in the future that can't be done now. But what about the technology of the assets that are going into the future, also improving and increasing in security to mitigate what those new technologies may do to them down the future as well?
Yeah, and that's a possibility. And that's definitely a probability, just because a lot of projects that I follow, they're actually concerned with quantum computers, to where they're trying to, you know, ramp up that whole, you know, the computing power. Because as of now, technology is not there yet. But, you know, I think for Bitcoin in particular, the biggest issue would probably be being able to get consensus on all the networks and the nodes agreeing to actually get something done. And here's the thing, if Bitcoin becomes an institutional safe haven, which it looks like it will, because Drunken Miller, Ray Dalio, all those guys, you know, are big bag holders now, they might be a little bit more incentivized to make it happen faster. Want their billions to go down the drain. So Bitcoin turning into an institutional / banker coin, you know, just they're going to make sure that happens with Bitcoin, I think. So,
and, you know, anyone that dabbles in crypto, and I do too, I've been into crypto since like 2016, you know, late 2016. I was one of those lucky ones that was able to buy a little bit of Bitcoin at $700.
Yeah.
but look, anyone that wants to dabble in cryptos, I have two strategies for cryptos. Mm-hmm. I have what is called a core position, meaning that I bought these cryptos, I bought that Bitcoin and Litecoin and a couple other different cryptos a long time ago, four and a half years ago, and I put it into a Trezor wallet. That's a hardware wallet that removes your private keys out of the chain, out of the internet. So they are in your possession. Just make sure that you don't lose your private keys. I mean, make sure that you don't lose your seed words, and make sure that you don't lose your password. In other words, be an adult and be responsible for your actions, right?
Right.
So I have a position like that, and that will always be safe because it is in no one's hands. It's in my hands alone, right? So unless I give it willingly to someone else, no one else can take it, no matter what kind of computers they have. And then I have another position, which is what I call my speculative position. You know, every bull market, I try to cash out so that I can save a little bit of crumbs for when the next bear market comes. Yeah. And then I rebuy everything on the cheap. And I do that, you know, every bear market and every bull market. You know, this bull market, I don't believe it's over. Yeah. But once this bull market is at its high, you better believe I'm going to be cashing out my speculative position. You know, I'm going to go buy me a Hummer or something. And then I'm going to save something up. You know, I'm going to save me something so that I can buy back in on the cheap.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you just have to be smart about how you do things. And remember, you know, that if you're in cryptos or whatever you're in, don't be a pig. Take profits. There's nothing wrong with taking profits. You know, you learn a lot through a full bear market and bull market cycle on cryptos, as far as learning how to take profits and not thinking that it's going to be at that dollar amount forever. But just be smart about it. And even if you don't believe in cryptos, it's not that I believe in it or not. I believe that it is the future of money, but it's not that I'm in love with cryptos. It's that I see it as a vehicle that will allow me to gain capital so that I can then use that capital to buy real stuff.
Right.
Right.
Use the crypto, don't let it use you.
Exactly. That's exactly what I mean. Yeah.
So watch this. Now we're about 40 minutes or so. Now I want to open up the Q&A. So that's time flying. We have
in the house today.
So what I want to do is basically, for those that are interested, if you would like to join via chat face-to-face for a quick thought or a quick question, feel free to do so, or highlight at Rethinking a Dollar to stand out in the chat, and then just throw out a question about prepping or monetary system, financial matters or whatever. And, you know, we'll have Rudy shine his light on it or vice versa. So feel free to just ask any question. We'll go from there. But So give me some rundown. And so this is off topic completely, but I'm curious because I don't know. Now, in Alaska, do you guys have the are you guys high enough? I'm not sure where you have the summers where the sun doesn't set at all or what? Give me, is that like the 24 hour sunlight type of situation? Yeah. Or what?
Yeah, right now, what is this? The 17th of June? Well, mm-hmm. we're almost at the solstice. Uh-huh. So right now, it's never dark outside. And it'll go all the way. Well, the 21st of June, the solstice, is mm-hmm. when we reach the halfway mark where we start losing sunlight. Mm-hmm. But we'll only lose sunlight at a rate of about 7 minutes or so per day. So probably by about the end of September, mm-hmm. it'll start getting dark. And by about the end of November, early December, it'll be dark pretty much 24/7, with the exception of about 2 or 3 hours a day where it will look like dusk. The yeah. sun won't even be over the horizon, but you'll still be a little bit light outside. So we go a few months a year without any sunlight at all, pretty much.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar because years and years ago I used to live in Iceland, and I remember having those long dark winters to where, of course, you know, suicides, hive, depressions. I mean, a lot of issues with not being able to see some sun. But I didn't know if that was the case in Alaska. So it's interesting to hear that, man. But what else is going on? We got we got Mr. Low Blood Pressure.
Oh, low blood pressure. That is my man right there. What's up, Low Blood Pressure? What's up, man?
This dude is frozen. Can you hear?
He looks like he's sleeping.
LBP, I cannot hear. I can't hear. No, I think he's froze. Can you hear us? Hello. Are you there?
It's choppy. Can you guys see me? You guys are frozen on my end.
I can see you. I
called him, Mike. I said, Low Blood Pressure is going to stop by and say hi today.
LBP, man. It looks like you got a bad signal or something, man. Uh-oh, we might be losing them. Let's see if we get them back. But feel free to check in via video for a quick minute, share a thought or whatnot. It'd be all fine and good. So it looks like
I see a lot of AP community members in the chat.
Thanks for sharing the knowledge. Thank you, Solomon. I appreciate you, my man. So watch this. Question for you. Now, looking ahead, what are you anticipating, like, so that we got the COVID passport situation. What's happening in Alaska with that? Are they like, you know, you can't leave, can't travel? I know every state's different. How was Alaska during this whole little process?
Well, I don't travel. I'm never leaving Alaska. But mm-hmm. I believe that during this last year, what I like to call the health crisis, mm-hmm. That if you came into Alaska from a different state, that you had to take a test, I mm-hmm. think. And then that you have to self-quarantine for like 10 days. Yeah. However, as far as the businesses go, at the beginning of this, I told my wife, I said, you know what? I think that at least Fairbanks, you know, which is the area around where I live, I said, I think Fairbanks is going to do pretty well through this because, you know, we're community oriented and we really like to support our small businesses. Mm-hmm. And I think only one business closed during that time. So like all of our businesses made it, which was awesome. You know, it just goes to show, you know, that the people of Fairbanks really care about their small businesses. Yeah. Because I can't think of one small business that closed down. I think there was one larger business that closed down. I can't think of the name, but you know, everywhere that I used to shop before and visit before is still there.
That's good.
Still there.
That's good. Well, LBP, can you hear us now, man? How you doing?
Yeah, everything was choppy earlier, but it's better now. How you doing, Mr. Alaska Prepper?
What's up, brother? How you doing, my friend?
it's good to talk to you, guys. You too.
What's on your mind, man? I know you guys. I know you want to talk about cryptocurrency, your favorite. You know, I know you get your stuff.
Low Blood Pressure is always like, AP, I don't like Bitcoin. I'm like, that's all right, Low Blood Pressure. Get some silver.
It's okay, you guys. Hey, you guys like it. You like it, you know. There's some things I don't like. Hey, I'm going to ask you.
Go ahead.
Yeah. What do you think about this Basel III? You think they're actually going to stop the contract, the COMEX contract? It's actually going to stop?
Man, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? I honestly don't think so because they have too much to lose.
Right.
I mean, they have too much to lose. I hope so. That would be incredible. You know, and not that it would be incredible for the monetary gain of those of us that have been stacking for a while, but that it would be incredible because silver will finally be able to realize fair market value. It will finally be let out of silver jail, you know, and that would be great. But you know what? Whether they allow it to happen or not, eventually it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Because they're not going to have a choice. I mean, silver mining has been at a deficit for like the last 5 years in a row. Our future indicates that we're going to need more and more silver every year just to keep up with all of this green stuff that's going on, right? Solar panels, electric vehicles, on top of all of the things that silver is used for already. I mean, silver is the second most used commodity in the world, second to oil, okay? And it's trading at $26 an ounce. It's on sale right now, man. I mean, I don't complain about silver being cheap.
I love the manipulation. I say manipulation is your friend. Use it just like they're going to use you. But here's the thing. Not many people consider the fact that Basel III, all this hype that's being put out there, happens to be at the same time that we're supposed to have a new world currency, according to the Economist cover, and the introduction of CBDCs. And so why would they be literally shooting themselves in the foot if it was meant to literally take them under? That's why I wonder, like, why? It's obviously a part of a greater plan. We don't see it, but yet, as I mentioned, people who've been financially oppressed and held on for so long, we get a slight smidgen of, like, it could be hope. We get excited, but I'm like, dude, they still got this game rigged pretty thick. Yep. So it's like, I would
rather get more.
Go ahead.
When the dollar fails and they introduce the CBDC, you think people are going to have confidence to go ahead and move into something else, or are they going to be starving where they have no choice?
No. You see, I don't think that CBDCs will be introduced when the dollar fails. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be introduced prior to the dollar failing. All right. Because they have to gain the confidence of the people that the dollar is not going away so that they can accept the CBDC. Because if you go out right now and say, okay, tomorrow the dollar is gone, CBDC is coming in, half the population is going to be screaming. But if they say, hey, we're going to have this in addition to the dollar, people are going to be like, well, all right, I can still use the dollar, right? Yeah, you can still use the dollar. Okay, well then, yeah, that's fine. And then eventually the dollar will go away. And, you know, and then after that happens, you know, after our freedoms are taken from us, which is what CBDCs is a way mm-hmm. to take your freedom away. Enough people will get tired enough, you know, after a certain amount of time, that eventually the system will have to change. And a CBDC, just like a dollar, is a fiat currency. And mm-hmm. What's the saying that is very true? There's not one fiat currency in the history of mankind that has never found its intrinsic value, which is zero. And it will happen because, like I always say on my channel, it's nature. Nature is nothing but mathematics, you know, Fibonacci sequence, right? Mathematics will always find its mean. Always. Yeah. You can't fool it.
There's been, so to correct that statement, I think it's good to say that 99.9999999% of fiat currencies have not failed, and that 0.00001 happens to be the Federal Reserve note. So,
yeah.
So the odds of it failing is extremely great. But then also, look, I want to just remind you guys of like just the past journey that we've had, where they've never just rolled out something without also keeping things the status quo as much as possible. And in time, they'll start taking away stuff. So like, for example, the Federal Reserve note came out in 1913. And at that time frame, we had about another six or so currencies that was also in circulation. And then every decade, it just got less and less and less and less. So they had more time to do it. But I think personally, like, they want cash to be around because they need time for the generations to change, for the young kids to get excited about digital stuff. And by the time baby boomers are gone, kids won't know nothing about paper units. You know what I'm saying? So all they will know is an app and a QR code. So it'll take some time if they have it their way, I think. So,
but you know what, Michael? You know, it's really up to us.
Yeah,
you know, it's really up to the parents. You know, if you ask my daughter is 14 years old. And if you ask her, what is fiat currency? She'll tell you exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. For her birthday, I buy her silver. Mm-hmm. And every time I buy it for her, it's a struggle because she says, I do not want silver. I want fiat currency. And I'm like, why? And she's like, because I can spend fiat currency at Walmart.
My kids, they don't even want fiat. They want Robux. They want some kind of gift card for a video game.
But you know what? She understands. She understands what it is. She understands the history. Mm-hmm. You know, as boring as it may be to your child, be that pain in the butt parent that teaches them something by being repetitive that they'll remember when they get older for when it really counts. Right. And mm-hmm. even though she likes fiat currency more now than real money, at least she knows what fiat currency is. Mm-hmm. And then one day when it comes that time in her life where she can use that that lesson, she'll know it. She'll be able to say, wait a minute, what's going on over here? You know, this dollar over here, you know, I used to buy this soda over here for a dollar. Now it's costing me three. What's going on? Oh, I know why, because this is not money. This was intended to depreciate in value over time, and at least she'll know how to save. So, yeah. But I still get her silver for her birthday.
Yeah, doing a responsible thing because parents understand way ahead of time what's more important. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to them little gadgets and stuff kids like now. Well, hey, people, we've been all close to 50 minutes, man. LBP, I appreciate you for coming on, man, and blessing us with your presence. You know, say LBP,
hey, good seeing you, old blood.
Fan favorite.
You too. Hey, I just wanted to say, be careful. They're going to bail in your pantry. They'll figure it out.
No. Well, they can bail in my pantry after I give them all my freedom seeds.
One at a time,
they can bail me in all they want.
All right, bless you, brother.
Good to see you, man.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Be good. Oh, man, Rudy, man, it's been great as always hanging out with you, man. I appreciate
man,
you for
Michael,
blessing us with
time
your presence.
Passed by quick or what?
Like literally, like that's the thing. Like I've learned over the time. I used to try to go under an hour. Then I got down to 30 minutes. But then I realized if I don't dial back myself intentionally, I will go beyond an hour point. And then it's like for the people who might watch the replay, nobody's sticking around to watch me rant and over again. So I try to keep it within that time frame to where you know people
still
get some value from it. Yeah,
I'll tell you what, for whoever's watching this replay, they'll probably click off the first minute after seeing this ugly mug.
I doubt it, man. Well, hey, man, everybody, I appreciate you guys for tuning in. I hope you guys got a couple nuggets. He definitely dropped some gems out here. And so the whole intention was to incentivize people who might not be a step or two ahead as far as just taking some precautionary measures on being a little bit proactive and just, you know, as you said, getting a food pantry, a savings account on your shelves, a saving account in every aspect of your life where you know you're going to need something tomorrow and next week and next month and accordingly. So, but we're going to definitely have to dive more into this because I know we can go deeper in the mindset aspect. I just got to learn myself because I'm a city boy, Rudy. So I'm still in the process of learning myself. But
never
we
too
do
late.
Have somebody.
It's never too late, my friend.
Somebody want to jump in real quick? We see what we can do with this one. I had somebody here. Oh shoot! So I want to get that person in because like a young lady might be trying to check in with us. If you got a minute. So whoever was trying to check in, I clicked remove by mistake. So forgive me, but feel free to chime back in, and I'll get you back on here. So Faith mentioned about prayer. So Rudy, I'm not sure. So, you know, just from a spiritual standpoint, you know, I try to make sure that I keep things in my priorities as straight as I can. We got the natural elements. We got the practical, how we respond to them. But it's all centered around a spiritual element of things in a sense. And, of course, mm-hmm. I like to, you know, as a believer in Christ, I want to make sure that I let everybody know where I stand and whose side I'm on. Because all this stuff we're experiencing is all biblical. So it's nothing new. It just might be a new occurrence in this generation for us. But somebody mentioned about want to end on prayer. So if you want to close out on some prayer, man, I would love to be able to pray with my fellow YouTuber / content creator as well. So let's take this real quick.
That's up to you, Mike. That's up to you.
Okay. So we have like Victoria. Is that the case?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How you doing, Victoria? What's on your mind?
Okay. I'm going to try to be brief. I lost my husband 3 years ago, and my nephew's been managing my money in the stock market. I just took it all out. Mm-hmm. He's not too happy about that and thinks I'm making a mistake. I think I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure out now is buying a house. And I'm thinking, I know the market, the prices are inflated. But I'm thinking I have to do something with the money. It's just sitting there. I know I'm losing it because of inflation. I haven't taken it out because I'm not ready to pay the taxes on it yet. It's still in a like a 401k.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to figure out, is the smartest thing for me to do is to get a house despite being, you know, the prices are high. At least I'm doing something with the money, and at least I'll have a home where I can store my things, try to do gardening.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a tennis ball between two tennis rackets. I just keep going back and forth, and I'm really not sure what the best thing to do. And I know you're not a financial advisor.
Right.
I got that. I know that. But I'm just curious what your thoughts are.
Ooh, okay. Well, first of all, so I appreciate you having the confidence and the willingness to share with us your circumstances. And of course, everybody's is different. And based upon the information you share, it's not enough to really give you a well-rounded of what I would do if I was in your shoes.
Right.
But you mentioned about buying a house. So are you currently, you know, do you own your own residence now, or what's your situation like now on the home front?
I'm in a community where it's very restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do, and it's too small. We came here when my husband was dying and we needed to get back Maine. So mm-hmm. we did that. And now this, I don't think, is going to work for me.
Interesting. Well, my personal opinion on this, and then Rudy, you feel free to chime in, but yet, you know, you might want to solidify your residence. Like, you know, not saying I might go out and buy something, but it sounds like you're questioning where you currently stay at now. So that's the first concern.
Right.
Because everything you do after that, you know, it'll be hard because you can't really get your weight up and stack weight up if you're in somewhere where you don't feel secure and it's going to be somewhere you're going to stay long term. And then it's not really yours. So you can't really put into it and improve it and invest in it. So it sounds like the housing situation might be something you want to address. How? I'm not quite sure. What do you think, Rudy?
Well, I don't think that buying a house, if you're going to live in it, is a bad investment. I don't think mm-hmm. that a house should be an investment. Mm-hmm. If you're going to purchase a home because you don't own one, and it's a home that you're going to live in for the rest of your days, to me, I don't consider that an investment. I consider that a necessity.
Yeah.
So if you have the capital that is required in order for you to do that and not be in debt and still have some funds left over to pay taxes with, just in case, right? And what I mean to pay taxes with is to preserve your wealth in a vehicle that will preserve your wealth, gold, silver, mm-hmm. platinum, etc. Because when the dollar does change, you're still going to be able to trade in those wealth-preserving vehicles mm-hmm. in order to be able to pay your taxes if that's what you have to do. So that is a good way of being able to make sure that you can, because trust me, if the balloon pops tomorrow, the tax man is still going to come around to collect its taxes, right? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter. So as long as you have a little bit of, you know, I like to call it wealth-preserving vehicles, because sometimes mm-hmm. the words gold and silver, it just, you know, it sets people off. Like, you can't eat gold, you can't eat silver, right? But yeah. it's got its uses, right? And one of its uses is to preserve its wealth. So instead of holding excess number of dollars in the bank, maybe you can consider purchasing the home that you're going to live in for the rest of your days, maybe transferring some of that fiat into a wealth-preserving vehicle, and then maybe having an emergency stash, whether in your home or in a bank account, wherever you're comfortable with having it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then, you know, you should be okay. I'm not sure about what your income is on a monthly yeah. basis, if you're on a fixed income or not, but if you want to spend money on buying a house, I don't think that's a bad investment as long as you're going to live in it.
Right.
And not trying to flip it.
You need somewhere to live. You need somewhere to live that you feel comfortable and you definitely, you know, can call your own, preferably, you know, especially right now when they're trying to take away property from us. You might want to have your own and not be dependent upon anybody else. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, two things. One, I am on a fixed income. I'm 67. And when my husband died, my income was cut by two thirds.
Mm.
So, but now that I'm able to collect Social Security. So that's better. I'm doing better on. In the past year when I found Alaska Prepper Channel, I really didn't know about prepping. Vince was, anyway, I've done really well. I have my gold and silver stuff. I have
all right.
In the past 18 months, I've acquired hundreds and hundreds. I've done a real lot. I've put away food. I have a solar generator. I've done it on like double time, triple time. And I think I've done really well. I just think that I need to get a house. And you're right, Rudy, because in my mind, people are saying, no, you shouldn't do it because you're going to be underwater. But if I'm going to stay there and live until I die, then it doesn't matter because I'm not doing it for an investment. I'm not trying to turn it over.
Yeah. So
I've done really well in a short period, and I'm even thinking of getting, I am going to get a peace thing with seeds.
A boomstick. That is awesome. Good for you.
Well, hey, Victoria, I appreciate you for calling and sharing your circumstances.
Thank you.
And I would encourage you to definitely pray on this decision making, because it sounds like you're going to make some major life decisions at this point of your life, and you definitely need a little bit more higher divine guidance on top of some real financial advice from people who are licensed. But thanks for calling in and sharing your story with us. Appreciate you
so much. Thanks. Yep. Bye.
Bye.
That makes me feel good.
Definitely, man. She's on top of her game, man. Thanks to Mr. Alaska Prepper. Awesome. All right, man. Well, Rudy, hey, man, let's close this out with a little bit of prayer, man. Thank the good Lord for the opportunity for us to get together and do it once more in the future, man. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather tonight to have a little back and forth and to fellowship with one another. Lord, we thank you for all the people that have tuned in and hopefully grabbed a couple bits of wisdom and nuggets from this conversation this evening. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless Alaska Prepper and all he does in his household. We ask you to bless all the viewers of this show tonight. Lord, would you ask you to continue to do great things in our lives? Help us to navigate these waters ahead, Father, and allow us to benefit and bring glory and honor to you, Father. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ah, to the
Amen.
Man. Well, hey, man, as always, it is a pleasure having
Thank
you on the
for
show.
That, before doing awesome. Again, my friend.
I appreciate you, man. Audience, appreciate you guys for tuning in. If you enjoyed, hit that thumbs up button. Definitely go over and check out Alaska Prepper. If you don't know, now you know. And other than that, Rudy, you hang on for a second. Let me sign off officially, and then we'll get this party started. Yep. All right.
Good night, everyone.
All right. I got rid of myself.